B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's go to our next guest. I love it every week. Love talking to my man. I was watching Saturday, you know, doing his college football. The best. Let's go back to the studio. Kevin DeGondi. He's got an update. And, oh, man, he just kills it. He's the man. I know he, like me and like you all, in love. And he's pumped up. The great Kevin DeGondi on the Comcast Business Hotline. Kev!
Ed, it's so good to talk to you, especially after an Eagles win, especially what we saw on Sunday. And I appreciate the kind words about Saturday.
Dude, you know I'm a college football head. And I love it, man. Let's go back. Let's go back to the studio. Kevin DeGondi with an update. I gotta get nuts. I gotta look at my man, and he's killing it. Killing it in the studio all day.
We got a good time. Booger and I have a good thing going, and we've got a great. By the way, this is actually connected to the local audience. Great whiteout scene coming your way Saturday night on ABC. Penn State hosting Auburn. And I said this on the ESPN College Football Podcast today, and I will say it again. The whiteout is the best college atmosphere.
It is.
Anywhere in football, no matter what. I mean, tradition is everywhere. You could bring up Death Valley at LSU. You could bring up Alabama.
Baton Rouge under the lights, the big house.
The maze out and what happens in Eugene. Nothing touches Happy Valley, whiteout, that scene.
I don't know about that.
Now, what do you got? You got something?
Well, I know all that stuff. Listen, you know, it's swamp. I mean, there's a million places. You got to understand. All right? I'm go Auburn Saturday night.
Really?
I'm a Temple guy.
Yeah, I'm a Temple guy, too.
Did you get your teeth kicked in by them?
Listen.
Everybody kicked their ass. Embarrassed us.
You're 100% right. I come from a family of Penn Staters, cousins, a ton of people. My brother originally went there. Then he changed his mind and went to Temple, smart guy. So, like, I've seen the whole thing. But I will say, from an objective point of view, the same way I'm objective when I watch college basketball and I know what Jay Wright does at Villanova, like, it's tough for me to swallow that pill for Villanova basketball. As well as
But Villanova, here's the thing. Villanova is Philadelphia. Penn State's not really Philadelphia.
That is for another time.
But they are. Come on, stop. 10 minutes down the road. Stop. Penn State's not Philadelphia.
Well, no. I will say this specifically about Villanova. Villanova and what happened in the mid-'80s in the Big Five and how Temple into the Big East.
I hear you on that, but I'm a Jay Wright. I love Jay. I'm loyal to Jay. You know what I'm saying?
I've said this to Jay to his face, actually during a commercial break before we're on the air, and I've said, I hate you, Jay, but I respect the hell out of you. And he laughs all the time.
I gotta tell you, I love him. Like, I'm loyal to Jay, you know?
He's a good man. And, I mean, Hall of Fame weekend for him, I tweeted out a congratulations because I have the utmost respect for Jay Wright. But how you feel about Penn State football is kind of how I view Villanova basketball when it comes to my love for Temple.
I get it. All right, let's talk about our love that we share beyond Temple. Dude, are you following this Nick Sirianni and what he says? Did you watch closely of his game plan, his play calling, his play design? Did you watch that stuff?
You know what stood out to me more than anything on Sunday? He played to the strength of the talent on the field.
Dude, spot on.
That is so refreshing, man. That is so refreshing to
Jonas,
see.
Jonas! No. What did I say? What was the word that I used saying the same thing?
Refreshing?
Same thing, Kev. Refreshing.
Exactly. Across the board in many ways. Because, listen, Doug was phenomenal. And we will always credit Doug for what he did that season.
I don't know about phenomenal,
so whenever I compliment, you Nick, it's not a, like a shot. And whenever I compliment Jalen, I'm not trying to drag, you know, the quarterback in Indianapolis. I'm saying it's just refreshing to see right now with no expectations. You have a coach aware of the talent on the field and say, let's utilize it. Let's not hammer home. This is what I want no matter what, no matter what. Let's say, what do we have? What are they giving us? Let's take advantage of the space. And then we have a quarterback who says, what's in front of me? How am I going to react? I'm not going to play hero ball or force anything.
Yeah.
And for one Sunday,
true that.
And I know the Falcons have their problems. For one Sunday, we can enjoy it without expectations coming in.
True that. True that.
And Ed, this is the bottom line with everything in Philadelphia. Bottom line, what is the most refreshing thing about this is that they give us hope. And that's all we want, right? That's all we want in Philadelphia. We want hope. And, you know, if you look at what's going on with the other teams in the city right now, there's a feeling of, do we have hope? Where's the hope? And just for one Sunday, for 3.5 hours, it was like, this is incredible. I feel great. I now know what's going on in the next 5 weeks, and the expectations go back to zero, because that's the only way we could do this. I think it's the only way we can enjoy our weekends. And I suggest that to everybody in Philadelphia. The schedule is brutal. Brutal for the next month and a half.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Just enjoy where we're at.
Yeah, I'm not even thinking about the schedule, who come up next. None of that stuff. You know what?
No.
I'm just so excited. I'm just thinking about, it's awesome that they're competitive. They're well coached. I had no aggravation. I loved everything they were doing. I mean, listen. I love Doug as a guy, right? But I did not think he was a good coach. I thought there was a bit of fortune and things all fell right. But, you know, I thought he was an okay coach. I think this dude is sharp. Mm. Real sharp.
Yeah. Well, one thing,
look at his concepts.
Are great. One thing I loved about Doug, And if you're not strong on concepts like we're talking about, I always noticed that the team played hard for him until they stopped playing hard, right?
Yeah, that's my point.
Like, oh, they're not playing for him anymore. That was Doug's kind of, I think, hook, right? They're not the combination of Nick having this team playing hard for him and he is prepared. I thought Danny did a really good job in the second half and adjusting after that first drive. That second drive, and you're like, uh-oh. And then you're like, oh, it's the Falcons in the red zone. This is the same thing we've seen through the years, regardless of who they have, right? I thought Gannon did a really good job on the defensive side in making sure we made
some
adjustments.
Yes, good adjustments.
Kyle Gray did a phenomenal job as well.
Yeah, without a doubt. They're both lines, or their O-line's terrific. Mailata played well. Their D-line is good. I mean, that's the strength of the team. But how great is it, too, to watch receivers? My buddy Vinny pointed this out. Like, you're watching these receivers, and you don't cringe. They're not – you go, you love Devontae, right? Quez is a player. And I think Rager's perfect in the slot.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, the early play calling with Quez, I love that because it was like, okay, we're going to keep you guys, the Falcons, honest. And we're going to utilize speed. And immediately you saw that on those screens, right? And you're like, okay, good.
But you know what it's about? He talked about this, and he talked about his script. And that was the quarterback recognizing it. Like, he gets a couple options on his play on how what he runs during the, on his script, right? So yep. Jalen gets a couple options on each play, and he recognized that and he took it. I mean, see, that's it. The good thing about Hurts is he's going to run his offense, he's going to get the ball out, right? Like yep. that, and the kid's smart. He protects the ball. He may not have the greatest arm, but he protects the ball, and he's a smart kid.
Yeah, and in a situation like this, you don't need a quarterback that's going to arm everything and get too confident and overconfident on every single throw on windows, right? What you need is somebody make good decisions, move the ball down the field. If you got nothing, then run, right? And he can do that. Yeah. But he's not looking to run at all times. What he's doing is he's looking to keep the defense, I think the safeties and the linebackers honest.
Yeah,
right?
I agree.
Orlovsky made a great point on NFL Live yesterday, and I thought this was really, really good. I'm not sure if you saw it. There was a little bit on Twitter as well about it. Sirianni was running a lot of Oklahoma offense, which I was like, this makes perfect sense
sure
on Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And Lincoln Riley. Well,
you want to run stuff. And he said it over and over again. You want to run stuff that the quarterback's comfortable with. He said,
exactly.
Today, dude, he goes like this. How about this? We just got done his news conference. Quote, before you can think of scheme, you have to identify what the players do well.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yep.
Before you can even think about scheme, identify what the players do well. Thank you. Thank you, Nick.
Yep. And awesome. It's a beautiful thing.
It
for
is
at least one weekend, we get to enjoy it.
Hey, listen, I don't even care. I just, week by week, I'm not expecting this team to go Super Bowl or you can play, whatever. I want to watch him grow. I said that before the season. My expectations are none. I have none. And I'm having the time of my life.
And it's a great, great perspective. I will use one small example on this topic. And I brought this up during our SportsCenter meeting at noon for the 6 p.m. tonight. We were talking about, you know, Thursday night's game featuring the Giants and Washington, how both teams are facing the potential to be 0-2. And I said this in the meeting, and I was like, listen, I know Jalen Hurts is like one game and Nick Sirianni, but the one thing I noticed about the Eagles offense was they had an identity, they were aggressive, and they executed. I said, when you look at the Giants, they're stuck in the same spot as they were over the last 2 years on what do we got with Daniel Jones?
That's true.
What do we have with his offensive line? What are we doing with the play calling? You could have all the weapons in the world, but if you are not maximizing the talent of the quarterback and you don't have an identity on offense, you're the Giants here in 2.5 years of trying to figure out, is Daniel Jones our guy? And that's the difference from, I think, winning a division and not winning a division right now when you look at the big picture. Like, it's, do we know who we are? And the one thing we do see with Nick Sirianni early on is he understands who this team is and the roster that he has in front of him, and let's maximize the offense and defensive fronts.
Dude, beautiful. Brilliant. Brilliant. Kevin, it's awesome. It's awesome, my buddy. It's awesome. All right, brother. Listen, as always, it's so great catching up with you.
Ed, I appreciate you.
Best of the kids, man.
You got me thinking about this straw debate that you guys are having, all right? Tunis kind of let me in on it a little bit. So I'm kind of with you on the two, but there's two circles but one hole, because there's two circles on the end of a straw and the other end of a straw. But it's literally one hole that's going through.
No, it's two holes, because if I press down one end of the straw, there's still an opening that I could slide something in it. Thus, it's a hole.
Okay, I see your theory now. Yeah. I can see Listen, it now. And that's why you're like, Anthony Gargano.
Like, in the words of my man VG, who's a big listener, he says, listen, how many holes do human beings have? You don't count one because you have the mouth and the anus. That's two separate holes.
Yes.
We've gone in a different direction that I was not expecting with this whole conversation.
Oh, you're
and
the best.
With that, I will be on my way.
Have a great day, buddy. We love you.
Appreciate you.
See you, man. Take it easy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.